following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The
This is the beginning of the podcast.
It's the starting line.
This is the beginning.
This is where it all begins, baby.
Welcome back, everybody, to the official and practical Jokers podcast. We had a little bit of a break. I hope everyone's summer break was good.
Season 9, new episode.
I know, pumped.
We're back. Did you guys know we were coming back? I had no idea.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing because we work on the show, so people assume we know everything about, you know, even the live shows and everything that's going on in the Jokers' lives. And even our own show, I'm like, oh, are we back? What's the schedule?
Yeah. And we got an email yesterday that was like, hey guys, new episode coming out Thursday night. Can you do a podcast? Like, oh, wow. And then we kind of just started getting our stuff together. It was awesome. I was really in there finally. Also, let me say this. The last time we all joined, I had a kid. I had my son Desi was born, 420. Great little guy.
That's right.
Best birthday ever.
That's right. But basically, we've been on break. I've been in baby land. I hope I'm with it somewhat for this podcast. So, yeah, I've just kind of been off the map. And then they're like, the show's back. And so it's really exciting. I'm so happy to hear we're coming back. And then it was fun. I got to kind of dive in and watch this episode with him. He smiled. So I think that is a big thumbs up from him.
And he understood like all the concepts and the language.
Yeah, actually, I think this is actually perfect for his age group. It's like for 3 month olds.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he was digging it. It's, you know, Murr's his favorite.
Whoa.
He likes a fellow bald guy.
He'll see. That might change.
We'll see, you know, it's his first step.
Similarly, my wife, whose birthday is also on 420, she's older than your son. her favorite was Murr originally she didn't know the guys as well as I did. And when we were watching, she was like, I like him. He seems innocent. And I was like, wow.
Wait, so now who is her favorite?
Now? I think she's probably a Sal fan. Okay. I think she's probably Team Sal.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, there's something that I think she still retains a little love for Murr. And I think she says that he has like innocent eyes. I'm like, that might be the only part of his body that could be innocent.
Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you just see Murray take out some contact lenses and reveal he has like blue eyes or something. He's been putting in like brown ones this whole time.
No, they'd be like snake eyes, I think.
Exactly. Absolutely.
He would take out contacts to reveal snake eyes, which is really funny.
The man from Princeton.
That's right. Which is a beautiful transition to this first bit, which is, I think, one of our favorites of all time. I mean, like log lines is like we're kind of in the television world. So to be able to like make fun of it is so fun.
It's the best. I know like we have such a blast coming up with these ideas with the guys. Actually, to talk about a little bit of an episode that just aired. It was a crew special recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many fans saw that. I think it's my favorite special ever, where we did like an award show and the whole crew got to vote on a bunch of different things. And one of them was best challenge. I voted for Loglines. It did not win. Mm-hmm. Loglines didn't win. But this was, it's definitely my favorite. So it got my vote in that one.
Definitely some surprises there. I don't know how much I voted for that actually won.
Yes.
I mean, I think maybe some things, but it's the crew.
The one thing I want to say about that, because everyone was surprised about this. For best punishment, it was tattoos. That wasn't the surprise. The surprise was that Turquoise Ring was the runner-up.
Yeah.
Turquoise Ring only lost, I saw the count, it lost by 5 votes to tattoos. I think a lot of fans would be surprised to hear that. I mean, everyone thinks of tattoos. I don't know how much everyone thinks of Turquoise Ring, but you know, for our entire crew, Turquoise Ring was really close. It was just a runner-up. I think it was just a fan favorite because it was so weird. It was just a fun one to watch that day. You know, I can't say why everyone liked it, but I know that's why I liked it. It was just kind of like a bizarre, fun thing we did.
I get it. I get that because, you know, if you're thinking about those 2 days, right? If you're taking the tattoo day where like the whole crew went to just like a tattoo studio.
Yeah.
Or, you go to this like weird, like you create a room with all these weird props and like you're putting it together. Everyone's like an air conditioned room. Their room is like, has heat lamps in it. It's a better, it's just a better environment. You get to have more, you get to do more that day than just going and watching some dudes get tattoos. But I mean, they're legendary tattoos. It's a great bit.
It is a great bit. And I was so happy to see.
When did this voting thing happen?
It was in an email. You got an email.
Oh, I got to check my emails because I don't know about this voting thing.
You got to vote. Everybody rock the vote when you get your chance, Shay.
Definitely rock the vote.
You could have put a turquoise ring only down by 4. So.
For real?
Yeah. Well, you got to present. You were a presenter.
I did. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
It was a blast. It was really a great special. I know the guys loved it.
So after quarantine, we got to like really get dressed and stuff, like put shoes on.
Yeah.
Do you know how excited I was to put on a dress and shoes because we don't get to do it right now?
I know.
Yeah, of course. Well, and actually this brings up a great point. I wanted to mention this. So now it is July when this episode airs. And around the country, things are kind of a little bit more relaxed. A lot of people have vaccines and stuff. People are probably hanging out with their friends like they haven't in a while, which is awesome. All these things that we filmed were filmed either in April or before. So keep that in mind again. Like we still had to jump through a lot of hoops as we were filming for these bits. Like, I don't know, like that it goes from that thing of like, people were like, how the heck do you film this during COVID? Until like now where they're watching and they're like, oh yeah, everyone's probably vaccinated. It's like, no, like the crew still had to like do ridiculous like amounts of testing, getting swabbed daily with like these giant pipettes up their nose and the find marks that were COVID free and all that. So every episode for like the next 7 episodes.
I don't think that's going to change. I think going forward, like since our production, as we continue a little bit for maybe a few years, I think we're going to continue kind of a lot of that stuff. You know, it's not our call. It's like a production call. It's a safety measure. So
for sure.
I think, I mean, like much like other industries, it just sort of changes things forever. But you could even see like Shay and I are working on a different North-South show right now. And it's been a little bit more, I wouldn't want to say relaxed, but there's a few less
tests.
It's like once a week still, but then.
Right.
Well, Jokers, we got tested every 3 days or every other day on set. On this show, we get tested once a week.
Yeah.
If you're outside and socially distanced, you don't have to wear a mask. If we're indoors in a trailer, you have to wear a mask. Before, you had to wear a mask no matter what. If you were outside, social distance, no matter what, you had to wear a mask. Now it's a little more laid back, a little more, but people are still, we still have hand sanitizers, PA still walk around squirting hands, and we still get nose raped once a week.
A question for you for booking marks for that. Were you allowed to just book vaccinated people? Did they do that?
I think it was the same. It was the same as Jokers.
Yeah. They still get tested.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause we're not back filming it. We'll start it back up hopefully soon, but yeah, I was curious about that.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
A lot of the crew are vaccinated, and we still, because you're vaccinated, you still have to get tested because you can still get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of the crew are vaccinated, but we still get tested regularly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Good to know.
Actually yesterday.
Well, that's great to know. Yeah. So that's a little behind the scenes on COVID procedures and what's kind of been going on with this. But let's just dive into the challenge itself. Log lines.
Yep. Here we go.
It is all timer.
Another thing so people know is like, this is similar to Cranjus McBasketball where it's like all hands on deck. People are coming up with these ideas, like all the comedy producers.
Yes.
And James, there was an uncredited one you wanted to mention, right?
Yeah. So again, like I said, we've been on a break basically since mid-April, and we didn't know, like I said, I didn't know that the show was coming back on with new episodes. There's a comedy producer, Nick Giovanetti, really funny guy. Me and him actually went to the same high school. He was there a little bit before me in Red Bank, New Jersey. A hilarious guy. He's written for a bunch of things. He's written some Marvel comics as well. Mm-hmm. His writing partners with Paul Scheer. He's just a hilarious dude. And he was a comedy producer for Jokers. I don't think he's in the credit of this episode, and hopefully they can get it in there for some reruns. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of shout out Nick, who is one of the funniest guys, nicest guys that we got to work with, kind of just jumped in and like fit in seamlessly to the comedy producer's room. I think him and Sal kind of came up with this Princeton idea that that Murray had to read out, which is basically Murray's life. But yeah, the fart joke Baron.
Yep.
I hope that sticks with Murr. That's a great title. I think Nick Giovanetti came up with that one.
All right. So, but like the first turn, right, was Joe versus Q. And there's something I really like when it's Joe versus Q. I think they're like equally competitive. Like Joe is a very competitive person. And at the end, he's actually mad when April chooses Q, which is like, I didn't see that coming because April was on Q every time. That's like Q got all the why, you know, like all those,
yes,
you know, Law and Order SUV, Soaking Wet, Angels. Why my shirt stink though? Like, right. Those are all of his really had a lot of issues, but then at the end, April chose Q.
Yeah, I know, the unoriginal hack. She picked him. She went with him in the end. April, by the way, my mark of the episode. She was fantastic. I thought.
Agreed.
Yeah, right. I think this is hands down. It's got to be April, especially when you have all the Jokers saying your name. You're probably the mark of the episode multiple times. It's like, April. Maybe even biased because again, Des is born in April. But I don't know. I love April.
And we got a new slogan for season 9 from April.
That's right.
Why?
Nine seasons is too many.
Why?
So funny. All right. What was your favorite? What were your guys' favorite show? So you got the Soaking Wet Angels, Quack Addicts, Law and Order SUV, Dalmatian Under God, that robot consciousness in the cloud with who has to get his penis back. Why My Shirt Stink though, where there was Dolph Trankt. I was trying to imagine. Yeah, Dolph Trank. I was trying to imagine, but like at one point it was like he got Dolph Trankt. Or like, and I love that expression. I was like, a kid's not going to know what that means. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's funny to be like, what is Dolph Trankt? And it's like, Dolph is short for dolphin and Trankt would be tranquilized in past tense.
Yeah. I love Dolph Trankt. Dolph Trankt should be what like one of the Jokers go by, like as an alias when they get into like hotels and stuff now, just like put the room under Dolph Trankt.
Oh, that could
like,
also
like a new Tony Gunk.
I actually think that should be another cue. Beer like Q, like you know, his brewery, they should make Dolph Trank.
RNA should definitely make a dolphin tranquilizer. Are you kidding me?
I think it should be like a Four Loko. It should be Q's Four Loko, should be Dolph Trank.
Oh, it should be an upper. You think there should be like, doesn't Four Loko have like caffeine in it?
It's got both, you know, because the dolphin, you know, is an upper and then the Trank is a downer.
Yeah,
it should be like a Red Bull and vodka, but with beer.
Oh, yeah, it'll flipper your lid.
There, you're right, you're hired.
Again, we've been off for a while, so I haven't had to come up with a joke in a bit, and most of my jokes are for a 3-month-old. So he doesn't understand language. But yeah, no, I actually, my favorite, though, is Dalmatian Under God, I'd have to say. D-Ball the dog was my favorite line, even more so than Dolph Trank. So Q, if you want a Dolph Trank and a D-Ball the dog beer, feel free to take it.
I'd like to see how many episodes of Law & Order SUV you could actually do. I mean, it's the most popular car at this point is an SUV. So,
I mean, I'm going to say hundreds. I feel like
probably enough.
Is that what was your favorite? That one?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I name alone is I go Quack Addicts every time.
Quack Addicts. It's a good one.
I mean, and the write-up itself is just so funny. Is that like, was that like a Zaluga collabo?
Nah, it's an Imbergio. I believe
it's an Imbergio. It's a Joe Imbergio. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was a really good one. And the thing is, I don't know what that show's about. Once I hear math, I kind of check out. Ever since middle school, I was kind of like, nah, I'm not going to pay attention if it's math. So yeah, I have no idea what that show's about.
So confusing.
Yeah, it's a lot of numbers and you do the math. But, you know, it sounded like people liked it. It was original, right? So people liked the originality of that show.
Yeah, April. If April likes it, then it's good. I truly trust her. She should be like the network executive for True TV.
Oh, okay. I'd love to work with April. Sounds good.
All right, next we got Murr and Prince Herb are going head to head. So, and Murr, of course, he's a TV executive and Prince Herb is a bartender.
Yes.
Which is such a good way to start the turn.
Yes. And I forgot, you're right. It's Prince Herb now. Yeah. We have to call him Prince Herb. He is Prince Herb.
I realized earlier when you asked Lisa's favorite, I might've said team and then the dead name. So Lisa's
team Prince it Herb. Yes, it is team Prince Herb. Yeah, I love Murr throwing the Herb under the bus right away.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic. I love the 69th Amendment. That scene, I was watching this again, like I said, with my kid, my wife. My wife was actually like, I'd watch that show.
I agree.
She was into the 69th Amendment. So
that woman was great. She was trying to make it like April was tearing everything down and like finding the problems, and she was trying to fix everything.
Yes.
She was like, it's, you know, and everything ends with a little, like something a little social conscious, right? she's like, everything ends with something social conscious. Yeah. And Prince Herb is like, sure.
Sure. Just like, yeah, whatever. If you're going to buy into the show, I loved it. I'd watch a show about, you know, the, what is it? The president hot dog emoji surfing off the Idaho coast.
Yep.
I'd get into a sci-fi like that. Sci-fi political thriller.
Yeah.
Why not?
Let's do it. Put it on HBO and it'll be great.
Yeah.
You got Kirk and Darth, 69th Amendment, Princeton, Gunner, Small Sacks, Liquid Shockers, Lady Junior, Dr. Smarty Pants.
Oh man, Lady Junior.
I was all about that Liquid Shockers, the Gunner Small Sacks Liquid Shockers.
Yeah.
Just all that whole, like that, like when you heard that name, it's just so confusing. But, and then Mer being like, so it's a comedy prank show with unsuspected volumes of liquid.
Yeah.
That to me, that killed me, that line.
That was great. Oh man. Yeah. I'm a big fan of this bit. And I love that it didn't even have to go to a vote. Because Murray just dominated Prince Herb.
But this is not fair, because before the show, this is what Murray did. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for him to, it's not fair.
Yeah. He loves to pitch. He loves to bullshit. And this is both of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you watch any of these, Shay?
I mean, I'm going to go not for these, but for Joe and Q. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to know what happens with the penis.
Yeah, I think everybody is wondering what happens with the penis.
100%.
Yeah, I need to know what happens with the penis. Do we get, like, can we find the penis? Like, I need to know these things.
So have we seen the mark of the episode yet for you guys?
Yes.
Oh, April. Yeah, definitely.
Hands down.
You're going April.
Hands down. Why?
I agree. I agree. It's hard to beat. I really like that woman who tried to make everything work.
Yes.
But yeah, April's just, yeah, she's a home run.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
As soon as I walk on set, I can't wait to get back on set. Why?
It's the pause. It's the pause before why. She's just like, why? it's amazing. I also like when Sal did such a bad job. First of all, there's no vote. He just gives up. He doesn't even, which is funny because, you know, Sal's like, I don't want, I keep messing this up. Prince Herb, leave it in. Don't even fix my mistakes. I am making mistakes. I'm embarrassed. I should know better. Prince Herb.
We should have to do something every time we say Sal.
I know.
Should we do push-ups? What would be the biggest punishment for us? Exercise, probably.
Mm. Honestly, with how much we get paid, it should be like a cuss jar. should be an entire paycheck in a jar. But it's so it's not much. But anyway, so I think when Prince Herb is like, he's just gives up. He's like, no vote. I don't want to have a vote at all. And then he says, man, fuck you guys. At one point, like when he can't figure it out, like Murr's killing him. So yeah. Herb's like, man, fuck you guys. And then, was after Dr. Smarty Pants.
It was great. Yeah. Murray just mentally dominated the Herb. It was a flawless victory.
Yeah.
I thought, and then we got to talk about this next bit. Mm-hmm. We called it Need One More. I forget what they ended up officially calling it in the cut for the second challenge. But we've done so many dumb focus groups in our 9 years, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Very silly, crazy things. But the UFO focus group comes to mind. Obviously, any product jesters thing we have done with crazy toys or all these things. So we were just like, what if we come up, what if the whole game is just pitching the craziest focus groups to a room full of people? That's it. Just see if people will even walk into the room for this. And we got to do it. I'm so happy that this challenge made it.
The structure too, the structure of, like, we've never done a, like a, what do you call it? Like this style of tournament style like this.
No, like not at all. Yeah.
Like where I couldn't even follow it in some ways, because it was like Q versus Murr, and then it was Joe versus Prince Herb, and then it was like the losers went up against each other, and then the winner. It was just like it was great. I wanted to hear as many as I could.
I loved it.
You know, so I really loved all of them. I gotta say my favorite is any chance you're in the mood to screw around with a new kind of tampon.
I mean, that one won, right?
I can't believe it.
It was chosen. Yeah. That's,
so do it yourself acupuncture or screw around with a new kind of tampon. There was a few ones that I'm like, I can't believe they went with the bee aggression in a freezing cold environment.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe they went with, which was the one it was for Joe versus Murrah. It was Monkey Chef.
I mean, also, have we ever told the story about Monkey Chef on the podcast before?
No, never.
Right. Here's the deal with Monkey Chef. Comedy producers room. A few years ago, Mike Fenoya, hilarious guy. A lot of you probably know him from Joker's Cruise. Really good stand-up. You should check him out. When he was in the comedy producers room for us, it was one of those days. It was a little bit slow. We're all kind of just BSing. And we were like, it'd be funny if the guys had to eat a sandwich made by a monkey. Like, as like a punishment. Maybe that's a punishment. I don't know. Probably not. We haven't filmed it, right? So we're just like, well, how do you do that? And we're like, well, Fenoya's like, let's call the Bronx Zoo and see if they've got like an intelligent chimp. And we just started laughing. And they're like, there's another department that does that. And he's like, no, I got it. He finds the Bronx Zoo number, calls up the Bronx Zoo, puts it on a speakerphone, calls up the Bronx Zoo. And he gets the answer that he gets from this zookeeper at the zoo is so funny to me. I'll never forget it. Mike goes, hi. It's like, hello, Bronx Zoo. And Mike's like, hi, this is Impractical Jokers. And the guy's like, oh, you guys again. Never knew that we called them ever in the first place. We called the Bronx Zoo. We say it's a Impractical Jokers. First thing, guys, you guys again, listen. And Mike's like, no, you listen. We need to know if you have a chimp that can make a sandwich. And the zookeeper just starts going, he's like, listen, go find like somebody that does tricks on TV. These are not like show animals. We're a preserve, blah, blah, blah. And Mike just goes back at him. He's like, well, you listen, we've got over 1 million viewers a week. We're going to take that chimp and make him a star. You're holding that chimp back. He's just like doing crowd work. It was like, whatever. I can't do it as good as Mike was doing it. It was so funny. Yeah. And we hung up the phone. We were just all laughing. And then I kind of snuck out to the locations department. I was like, hey, don't call the Bronx Zoo for a while.
Yeah.
It's
funny that there was already like a pre-existing condition that he had no idea. And he's just stumbled into he just ripped off a Band-Aid he didn't even know was there.
I just love it. I never would have thought we call the Bronx Zoo. He's like, you guys again.
Yeah. That's the best.
I love it. But yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a focus group, monkey chefs made by ape by humans.
I know. I mean, I still want to see that punishment where, you know, Prince Herb eats a sandwich that was made by a monkey.
Yeah. Oh, another thing about Prince Herb, when we first pitched this a concept to him, I'll do some push-ups or donate all my paycheck. Prince Herb was like, all right, but like, we already get people to do crazy focus groups. How crazy could it be? And we pitched out the 6-hour mosquito safety course for residents of Northern Rockland County. And that's like the first thing we said. And he's like, well, okay, that's really funny. And so he was like, okay, yeah, let's go with that. And then we got to play this game.
Yeah. And they really ranged, you know, you got like soaking wet clothes and to see until they get dry, like a lab puke sample. You know, what's funny is like, I feel like ones that are faster, people will just do like the 6-hour in-depth mosquito safety course versus monkey chef taste test. I'm doing monkey chef taste test.
Absolutely.
But I can't believe screw around with a new kind of tampon.
No, I can't. But against acupuncture though, because I'd be so worried about messing up a nerve or something. I get it. I understand it in that way.
Yeah. Then you got meat rottenness, chocolate tasting, and bee aggression in freezing cold environments. What do you guys go with there?
Oh man. I'm going with the bee aggression as well.
I'm going meat rottenness. I would like, I'm afraid of the neck thickening for sure. But the meat rottenness, it doesn't seem like there's any, like, what's the worst that happens? I puke.
But I'm a pescatarian, so
sure,
you know.
But you're just smelling it.
But I mean, just on principle, I don't want them to be doing more focus groups with more dead meats. You know, okay. I want no dead meats.
Okay.
So maybe she's felt the same way as me, and that's why you go to the bee aggression.
So you rather get stung?
I'd rather get stung. I've been stung before. I'll think it again.
I've seen movies. there was a documentary where they drew there was a car that was surrounded by bees. They drove it into, it was like killer bees. They drove it into a stadium, and they put the temperature up high enough and all the bees like fell to the ground and they like fell asleep or something. They didn't die, but they like all like they basically fell to the ground. And then the person like got out of the car and ran away once they were all down. And they like, you know, they saved the, I think it was a woman. They saved the woman. And then like when they put they turned off the AC, they had to wait a while. When they turned off the AC, the bees came back and left. But isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
So I think you'd be fine if you knew that, if you watched that documentary / movie. I don't know what it was.
So the bees were attacking the car?
They were just swarming the car. They like were on the car. They're like attached to the car. And I don't think any were getting in. I saw this maybe 15 years ago, but I did see it. Don't know if it was a movie that was like fiction or like a documentary.
Yes. No, this is, so the queen was probably inside, I'm guessing, right? Because that's what happens. Like whenever the queen is somewhere, that's where you get like the whole swarm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, potential Disney movie here. Queen gets trapped in the car, road trip, whole swarm goes. They go inside a stadium, you said?
They went, someone had this idea like they to drive into this like, you know, football stadium or like, yeah, big stadium. And it was already somewhat air conditioned. It was covered. And they brought up the AC even more. And eventually it got cold enough. They figured out that the bees would just have to like fall asleep or fall down. I don't think they died.
Oh, that's good to know. All right. I didn't know that. That will be helpful if any of our listeners are currently dealing with a bee issue.
Yeah, get to a stadium. If you're
crank
listening,
up the AC.
Get to a stadium.
I wanted to I Googled because I need to know these things.
Yep.
Right. So bees, they exercise like mad whenever the mercury dips below the 50 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So do they? I don't understand. Explain.
Well, I guess the bees get more aggressive when it gets a little cold. It's probably like they get panicky, I'm assuming. I think, but I think it needs to be studied, and I'm glad that this lady signed up for that focus group.
After this podcast thing, I'm going to look this up.
I got to look up this bee on car driving into the stadium thing. Oh, I think I found it.
Oh, great.
Okay.
You know what would have been great is if this just turned into a punishment, like whatever the person picked, it's like, great. And also like, no, Joe, you lost the episode, so now you're going to be dealing with a bee in a freezing cold condition. Like, what if we had that like set up, or some chocolate that makes his neck thick? Yeah, get him some stinky meats. No, we won't film that. What we will film for Joe punishment is the wind beneath my wings. How about this one? How do you guys feel about this one finally getting to air?
What do you mean?
So the guys fought hard for this one. Do you remember?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Like, how do I feel about it going now after seeing it?
Yes.
Love it. All about
me
it.
Me too.
Because the earnest, they really wanted him to be earnest when he sang.
Yeah.
And there was like a moment toward the end where he really like goes for it, but like it starts off and he really, it's embarrassing. It really is. Like, he's a bad singer. And like, I think most people are like, I can't sing, so I just don't sing.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I lay back. And this, he has to sing for this entire time as like the best to his ability. He's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's his best singing. And it's it's hysterically bad. And it's so earnestly bad. It's like he's really, I keep using that word, but he's really bad.
And the guys have been trying to get Joe to do this forever. I remember I was hanging out with them at one of their podcast shows, like they do when they're like working out new tour material. And Prince Herb was just going to Joe. He's like, listen, for the next show, honestly, please, can you just go to the front of the stage and to the best of your ability, sing, I forget what song it was, but he's like, I will die laughing if you do that. And Joe's just like, oh, absolutely not. And he's like, what do you mean no? He's like, what? And then just like, I'm not going to go out there and just embarrass myself for your amusement. Prince Harry's like, we do that all the time. That's what we do. He's like, yeah, but like, I'm not on the show right now. I'm just not going to go and do that. And so like Prince Harry and the other guys are like trying to coerce him into doing it. And he's like, guys, I'm not doing it. And so they've been trying to do it as a punishment basically since then. And we really like pushing for it. It never was like the right time, but then it was this thing of like during COVID, we're looking for punishments we could do without a big audience present. And we're like, all right, get Joe in a studio. We get a giant Zoom audience. Maybe we pair it with a charity. So there's like a charitable aspect to it. So that's just like a thing sometimes like the network likes where it's like, okay, we can help like kind of like sell the idea that way where it's like, you know, it's like, well, it's a punishment, but it's also like the guys like raising money for the Mariano Rivera Foundation. And like, we do that sometimes like for finales, we've done that where the guys all do things with different charities that they all work closely with and stuff like that. And then the guys built a relationship with Mariano Rivera. So they're like, yeah, this will actually be a great way to kind of like work him into the show, raise some money for a good cause, but then also get this punishment finally on air. And so they were able to do it. And they also went through great lengths to get The Wind Beneath My Wings specifically. It had to be this song.
That's the thing.
It had to be, according to Prince.
That's the thing. Like it really, that for me, I'm like, just the fact they got that song is big enough for a punishment.
Yeah.
You know? And I grew up like with my dad would always like put on the Bette Midler Greatest Hits.
Oh, really?
Oh, he would throw that on. I mean, it was very eclectic taste with Dan Jost.
Nice. Is this track number one?
He would either put on Greatest Hits of Santana or he would put on like Disney songs hits.
Yes. So
you know, my friends would get in the car and like the Lion King World soundtrack would be bumping.
yeah, Hakuna Matata.
Or, you know, my dad, huge Dido fan. You don't know any of the Dido deep cuts, but dad does.
Eminem and Dido.
Nope, not that one. The original with just her, no Eminem.
What? Yep. Did you rap the Eminem part over it?
I tried my best. He would say, shh. but then Bette Midler, Greatest Hits, that would be on. And, yes, you know,
Betty Mids.
There was another one that would always play that was like, he was a bugle boy from Company B.
Oh, of course. I know that Betty Mids hitting the high notes all the time. She's always the best.
Always.
Yes.
So
great.
So
this Hocus Pocus. Yes.
So I know very She's much wonderful. How the song should be sang.
Of course.
So maybe that's why I also like it, because when you hear him not sing it well, hey, yeah, that's special.
That's more baby. A great non-Bette Midler song. It was the perfect song. I agree. And the thing was, we actually, so at first we found like a karaoke track for it, or like kind of like a MIDI or something track. And then Prince Harry was like, no, we need the real like official track. So the guys went through great lengths to get like the official like backing track that like Bette Midler uses when she sang over it. So this is like, this is like the official version of Wind Beneath My Wings. And it's definitely, it took some time for the producers to like track down and get it clear and all this other nonsense that like me too. Like I kind of take for granted when I'm watching TV. I'm like, of course they could get that. But like actually having to like watch how that happens. It was just like such a dealing with music publishing is such a process.
I know.
And, that our crew was able to get it done and get the official version. The other thing, I have to call out, that wasn't the only song that Joe sang that day. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So we joined the Zoom for this. We watched kind of like all the fans that were on the Zoom did that day. And when you're watching the Zoom, you watch this song with the backing track that we just talked about. So you kind of see what you see on TV, basically, minus the guys and BTS, right? Mm-hmm. You get that version of Joe singing. But then after that, the guys made Joe sing two songs, but they just piped the backing track into his ears. And it was basically Joe's isolated vocal track going out over the Zoom.
A cappella.
So you just hear Gatto do an a cappella version of Amazing Grace and Danny Boy, which was hilarious. Also, Gatto, I think, knows about five words of Danny Boy. He was like off the entire time. But yeah, that was another just like kind of fun part of this day that never made it to TV. Because at the end of the day, they're like, yeah, no, the wind beneath my wings was like the punishment. That other thing was kind of just for us because we never, again, they've been pushing so hard for him to do this. And he finally did it. But yeah, there's like two other tracks out there somewhere that the guys have. Maybe they'll use it somehow.
It's funny because this punishment's great because it's not only a punishment for Joe, it's a punishment for everybody listening to Joe.
I was getting ready to say it was a punishment for me.
It was bad. Before we go too far.
Yeah.
As we're talking, I want to follow up on that. My whole B claim.
Yes.
100% a movie. It was called The Savage Bees. It was like a made for TV movie, but there's these bees that swarm a car. And I was right.
Fair.
They bring them into the Superdome in New Orleans.
That's the dome I was picturing.
And so then it says, yeah, in this review, it says like, there's a ridiculous must-see conclusion, which has our heroes chilling the bees out via the Superdome's air conditioning system, which we're supposed to believe is powerful enough to lower the temperature from 61 degrees to 45 degrees in a matter of minutes. And there's also like an image on
hold on, Case. They only went to 45. It's not even freezing.
I know.
It's a movie. You could have done anything at this
Agreed.
Point.
I guess I wanted to make it accurate. And that's why I think I felt it was so accurate. And then it was the temperature also like on the stadium, you know, like on the stadium, like the scoreboard, it said the temperature. And as it went down, it's just so funny. But they also said that the movie's like really problematic because it says among its litany of problems is its dialogue, as highlighted by the troubling habit of its characters referring to Africanized bees as the Africans, which led to problematic cringe-inducing lines such as, these Africans are different, not only chemically, but physiologically. Like, they don't merely want to sting. The Africans want to kill. Like, it's wow. This movie is a punishment too.
Did they come from propaganda? Did the bees come from Wakanda?
That's what
I need to know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man, vibranium? Is that what it was called? The metal?
Yeah, that's from Wakanda. This is definitely this. I feel like this movie, if anything, is in the Junior Cinematic Universe and not the Marvel one.
No, it's definitely not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. Another bad punishment idea, since I've pitched a few already. Can we make the guys like do just like a shot by shot remake of a terrible movie like this? Like, can we just buy the rights to this B movie and like make like a couple of the guys just redo it and say all these problematic lines?
If we could get the rights to Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings, now I feel like anything's possible.
I agree. 100%. Wow. I'm so happy that was a movie and not a documentary.
I know. I'm a little bummed though, but I feel like I had to button that up.
Yeah.
Otherwise people would be coming at me in the comments.
Well, that's great. What was the name of the movie again?
The Savage Bees.
The Savage Bees.
I'm watching it this weekend.
Yeah. Please watch
it. Fantastic. Oh man. It's so good to be back. I'm so happy we're back.
I know.
Watching episodes, talking about them. This is fantastic.
Yeah. I love you guys. Great episode. So fun.
You too. And any fans, if you have any questions, please like ask them at hashtag Jokers podcast on Twitter. You can ask them to us at our different Twitter handles or Instagram. I know Shay doesn't have Twitter. So everyone's socials are.
Yeah. Hit us up on Instagram. I'm at Casey Jost everywhere.
And Shay Starchow, C-H-A Starchow.
At Mick James McCarthy.
Beautiful.
Thanks so much for listening and for watching the show. I can't wait. There's some really, really great episodes coming up too.
We're back.
I'm really excited. We're back, baby.
This is the end of the podcast.
I miss you, but James, I miss you.
I miss you. This is the finish line of the pod.
This is the end. Okay. Love you guys. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye. The official and practical Joker podcast.